Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests are witchcraft practitioners Amo O'Day and Jack. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be Let's Go Retro, our 80s dance party, this Friday, January 13th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Culture Club, located at 20 West 39th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Admission is free. There'll be some great drink specials, lots more surprises, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, TastingNYC.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching the Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my Animal Rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer, John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, as you folks who listen to the show regularly know, I do some fairly interesting topics here. And I got the idea of doing a show on witchcraft. And it just happened that I was connected to Amo. It's amazing how these things come together. And here we are with witches just a couple of blocks from Broome Street.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. And she knows Jack.
Hey.
Okay. And both of you are into this interesting... What do we call this? It's not a religion, really. What do we call witchcraft?
It could be a religion.
It could be.
You could treat it like that. I call it more of just a way of life. It's very natural to me, so I don't really try to do it.
Okay, it's a lifestyle kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now how did you guys meet?
We met at Enchantment in the East Village, an occult store. It's been around for about 25, 27 years.
Yes.
Now, what exactly does one go to purchase in a place like that? Like, what are the common items that one would pick up in a witchcraft store?
Well, you can get everything from incense and incense oils, talismans, spell kits. The main thing they do there is they make candles. They carve them with specific signs and symbols that represent anything from getting a new job to finding love to blessing your house, and they color it with glitter and they put your name on it in your astrological sign.
Okay. Now, when did you guys realize that this was an interest of yours? Like, when did you decide, or was this kind of a calling, or what?
Well, for me, I was about 20 or 21. I was working...
The last year this first happened.
Many, many years ago. The witchcraft is why I look like this still.
Most witches look pretty young.
Yes, that's very true. I befriended someone that I worked with in a retail store that grew up this way. Her family raised her. Her heritage was Scottish, Egyptian, and African. And she was and Native American. And the Native American part was very heavy in their upbringing. And, you know, I remember meeting her and her telling me that she was a witch, and I thought that she was crazy at the time. But the more I learned about what her family did and, you know, their habits and everything, it just felt really natural to me. And I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, how do your family react to this type of thing?
Well, my family is Catholic. They're Irish Catholic, but they're not. They're more of the church on holidays type of Catholics. So, I mean, I grew up with my mother, who I remember found one of my books, and she flipped out. But I guess she figured that I never really acted any different, and I never did anything out of the ordinary, so that it must not be that. I mean, we don't discuss it.
Is this the type of thing where your mother finds your book on witchcraft and goes, if it could have just been drugs or prostitution?
I guess they were happy that it wasn't those things, so just let it go at that.
Well,
They weren't too thrilled about me burning incense. I think they thought I was smoking pot, but it was actually sage. A lot of people that don't actually know what pot smells like thinks it's sage, it's pot. The smell is very different, at least I think so.
Your parents need an education. I can hook them up with some of my past guests, and they would learn a lot of stuff.
I'll ask them.
Now,
Might not be up for that.
Jack, what's your story? How did your family feel about this?
I was raised Catholic as well, and...
Because the Catholics and the witches had a bit of a problem at one time, from what I remember.
Yes. So I had to hide. I was a kid. I was running around my backyard. My backyard looked like a forest. My parents grew a bunch of herbs and plants there, and I used to talk to them. And I used to play with imaginary spirits from the plants. Eventually, I found books on Wicca and that kind of spirituality in like a Borders or Barnes & Noble, and I started stealing the books, taking them home, reading them, and hiding them. Eventually, around my 15th birthday, my parents found out what I was reading, and I had to throw everything away.
So you got into this pretty young.
Very young.
How old were you when you first started witching?
I think I was bewitching since I was a kid, but officially I decided to call myself a witch when I was 13.
Wow. Interesting. That's when I had my bar mitzvah. I think yours might have been more fun, actually. I should have hung out with you.
It was, you know, witchcraft attracted me because I had a rough childhood. Growing up in East LA, being gay, I was bullied, so I felt powerless, and I found power within the craft.
Were you able to strike back at any of your...
I want to know
more about this. Like, that's an interesting topic. Like, you guys, what exactly are you able to do? I guess you cast spells, right? Is that part of what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are these all strictly for good, or can you do the more traditional stuff? Can I hire you to do a hit on someone?
But
we are in Little Italy, so they actually killed Crazy Joe Gallo in the place that we are now. So.
Well, the only time I use anything against anyone is if something has been done wrong to me. I don't just go around throwing bad things at people.
Yeah, it's draining.
You think that's your parking spot?
It's very draining. Well, the main issue with it is it's very draining to throw your energy that strongly so it has an effect at someone. I would personally rather, you know, leave that up to something else and just focus on getting my own thing fixed, you know, depending on what happened. You know?
But you can do that. So, Jack, tell me, like, give me an example of something that you did. No names, that's optional.
Okay.
But preferred.
I will be honest. I was attracted to the craft for the black arts. I'm not like that anymore. You know, teenagers are pretty angry, so obviously my magic was pretty angry. I had a lot of bullies around, and they like to steal my work and harass me and push me around. So I cast a spell on myself so that whoever touches me in a way where I would feel threatened, then their hands would burn or twitch or something like that. They didn't burn or twitch, but what ended up happening is the next day at school, the bully that did bully me showed up with a cast around his hand. So I figured that something was helping me out here.
So you were able to beat up a bully with witchcraft. I like this.
Yes.
Now, did this involve what you said, or did you need stuff? Did you need a lock up in hair, or how did it go?
I took a page of his journal from English class because it had his writing and his name. Having someone's name, you have complete power over them. So I used that, and I called on a goddess that I did not know about at that age, and that's how I became close to that whole energy.
Wow. So, do you need to get a lock of someone's hair or all that kind of stuff?
It helps
to have something of theirs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what it is. I mean, initially you want to follow something exactly. As you get more into the practice of it, it's your will you're throwing. So you can use anything of theirs. It doesn't have to be like an exact thing, right. But it helps.
And eventually you'd be pretty mighty and powerful that you won't need a thing of theirs.
No.
Really? So then you just get to, there are stronger and weaker witches.
It's like anything. When you practice anything, it gets better.
Okay. No, never mind. Okay, somebody just said that your mic kind of kicked out for a second. But
oh, okay.
It's okay. It's back. I wonder what's going to happen in a show about witchcraft. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And it's a full moon tonight.
It is a full moon.
So, yeah, you mentioned that. So what's the significance of that to what you guys do? I know it's big.
Well, the full moon is when you would do a lot of spells to bring something to you. It's the most powerful time of the month to bring something to
so
you.
So for a witch, that's your time of the month, basically, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. Like you would do... Up until the full moon was where you would do things to gain. After tonight, I would say do something to get rid of a bad habit or get rid of an energy.
As it wanes, so does your whatever you want to throw away will wane.
Basically, as the moon gets bigger, you gain something. As the moon gets smaller, you lose something.
Or do you want to lose something?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's not. It's something you want to lose. Like if you want to give up chocolate.
So I have an excuse to go to the track.
I don't know why you would do that.
So I have an excuse to go to the track, basically.
Yeah. Well, you can definitely use it for weight loss.
Oh, well, that's positive.
Well, it's for self-control. A lot of it is, most people, I would imagine, I definitely did. I use it to gain control over myself and my surroundings.
And I think that's the first thing about witchcraft, is it works on you first. And then you project your life out of your body, and your life is your life. It's your journey you created.
Yeah, I mean, I became, and the reason why I was attracted to it is growing up Catholic, as a female, we're not exactly given anything nice, you know. It's run by men, we're sinners, and it's all our fault, basically. So
got a problem with that?
It was, yes, I did.
Oh,
you want to go outside? So
when a witch asks you to step outside, two blocks from Broome Street, I think you should behave yourself.
So I was very drawn to it because it celebrated women. And not just women, it celebrated both equally, which I was attracted to.
Now, were you called a witch or a warlock, or how does that work?
A warlock means an oath breaker. I did do communion and confirmation, so I guess I am a warlock because I broke the oath. But witch is fine.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to get the right terminology down here. So, Jack, you said that people can be stronger or weaker witches, basically. Like, is this something where someone has a natural ability, kind of like a psychic does, or can you just develop this by studying?
Both.
It's both.
It's both. I think whoever is attracted to this art, there's already something in them that's drawing them towards it. So you're already... You probably already have the witch blood, as I call it. And then you use practice to make yourself stronger, powerful, more attuned.
So it's kind of like an athlete. You know, you have a certain natural ability, and you're always going to be better than someone without that ability.
Yeah.
But you can also fine-tune it
through
education.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. And where does one get the necessary... I know you've worked in a store.
Yes.
Is that like...
Well, when people ask me how to learn something, the best way to do that is, well, between the internet that we have now, we didn't have that when I was learning about this. I go to the bookstore and I basically gravitate to whatever I'm attracted to. I have a huge library at this point, so not all of it, I don't use all of it anymore. A lot of it is just references. But basically, you gravitate towards what looks appealing to you and what feels natural to you. Like I was gravitated towards tarot and the power of stones. If you notice, like I tend to wear a lot of gemstone jewelry because there's energy in it.
You would have loved one of my past guests. She's a psychic known as the Rock Girl, Allison Hayes. She uses rocks to do psychic readings.
Oh, okay.
And you choose the rock out of a certain formation. And I had her on with three rock stars from the 70s and called it the Rock Stars and the Rock Girl. And she did psychic readings on them on the air. So you guys can find that on my website, andytroy.com, by scrolling back on the radio show page. So, before we get into too much other stuff, we're going to have to go to a commercial break, or the real powers will descend on me, and that's the people that own this station, and Betty, my engineer, and her wrath is worse than any. So, we'll be back.
Yo, this is Fat Al the Cannoli over here, and you are listening to the Chintani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me in email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show. 60s, 70s garage psych and punk you can't hear anywhere else. Mixed in with a lot of fun.
This is Nurse Cheryl. Listen to the Garage Mania Show on the Chintani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back in Umberto's in Little Italy, broadcasting worldwide about witchcraft, basically. And we've got Ammo and Jack here discussing the topic and what they do. Now, do you guys have any kind of like role models? Like, you guys like Aleister Crowley, or how's he viewed? One of the names I know.
I've worked with his system before. I found it, there's some of it I'm still attracted to, but I find it too rigid.
Really? What about you, Jeff?
I haven't worked with his system. I like his poetry, and I've used his poetry before in my rituals. But I have my role model right now is Robert Cochran, and he actually came out around the same time that Gerald Gardner, who invented Wicca, came out, and he was the rebel of witches, and he said that there's other ways to do this, and you have to be born a witch, not made a witch.
Someone just wrote in, what kind of name is Ammo? I assume a stage one.
It's a stage name.
Yes.
I have been a musician, a burlesque performer, performance artist, you name it.
And you are part Irish, so does Ammo ever get loaded is what I want to know.
Definitely.
Oh, good.
A very close friend of mine named me that, and before a show, I was performing with her, and it just, the guy that was coming back and setting everyone up was like, what do you want to be called? And she just blurted it out, and it stuck.
Oh, good. Now, people have a lot of misconceptions about what witchcraft is. Did you guys want to dispel any of that? Because I'm sure you want to be understood.
Well, the first thing people assume is that it's evil. And
it's not, huh? I'm very disappointed.
Well, this is the thing, is I don't consider magic black or white. I consider it gray. You can do terrible things with magic. You can also do terrible things as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other religion, as we've experienced in history.
But they don't have, like, real power. I mean, they could, like, turn around and stab you, but the types of things you're talking about, I mean, I never got a guy in, like, you know, Hebrew school mad, and next thing I know, like, you know, I developed a wrath, or my hands started burning, or whatever.
Well, you can think about it like people that study martial arts. Martial arts is very strong, and if you're a bad person, you can go beat up a bunch of people with it. But if not, then you just do it for yourself so that you can find your strength and etc.
Now, Jack, what do you think people think about witchcraft that it's not? And what about what it is? let us know what you really do.
Well, it's not easy. It's not, I mean, it is fun, but a lot of people get attracted to it because it's very twinkly and magical. But once you actually step foot on this path, your life crumbles. The gods put you towards this test so that you can become a better person, because the gods want a really good priest or priestess to represent them or anything like that. So you have to get everything together, and then you can be priestly.
Do you guys ever screw up? Like, if I asked you to like make a woman love me, does she turn into a frog instead of me?
Spells go bad sometimes.
There was one time that I did a love spell when I was younger, and I haven't done one since then, because it basically turned out where the guy that I did it to ended up going back to an ex-girlfriend who happened to resemble me quite a bit.
Oh.
And I was like, alright, well, there goes that idea. I find that that's not necessarily misuse of the power, but
there's just better things to do.
I would rather... That's one of the things that I really recommend people not do, because eventually you will really question as to whether that person is with you for you or you force them to.
Well, you kind of know that, don't you, if you got them by casting a spell.
Right.
I just find that stuff tends to backfire.
It does, and love magic starts to work on yourself first, so you'll go bonkers and crazy over this person and obsessive and wait till the spell works on them.
Did you ever do any love spells on anyone, Joe?
I have done before in the past, yes.
How did it go?
I went crazy, but it worked, and we went crazy together for about 6 months, and then it exploded and ended.
Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what do people tend to come to you for? What are the more common
things? Love.
Love.
Oh, do they come to you for this, and you basically tell them no?
Well, this is what happens. I explain the consequences and the possibilities of and the ramifications of it. And if they insist, even after I've warned them, then all I have to say is, you can't come back to me and complain and want to undo this, because you can't undo it.
Oh, there's no there's no money back guarantee or anything?
No.
What about that whole 48-hour lemon law, no?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Once you throw energy out there, you can't bring it back.
You have to let it fade away slowly.
I've had people come back to me and say, oh, it turns out this guy is a real pain in the ass, and now I can't get rid of him. Like, oh, well.
Okay.
Have fun with that, because I told you.
This sounds like something from the Twilight Zone or something. I like this. You're like the monkey's paw or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, people think it's all jokes and fun and Harry Potter, but it actually can affect things in bad ways if you let it.
Is it good that I've never seen a Harry Potter film? Is it?
Oh, Harry Potter is great, but the problem is that people assume that Harry Potter is what you're really doing. Sometimes I wish it was, but
it would be fun.
It would be fun.
Well, how does it differ?
Unfortunately, that is not reality. That is a children's book.
It's not that fantastical.
No.
So nobody's shooting any sparks out of their hands.
No.
I mean,
there's no talking hats.
If you have the sight, you could probably see the sparks.
You could.
Okay. So, now I've always heard that witchcraft is pretty liberal when it comes to nudity. Is that true?
Only in Gardnerian Wicca.
Oh, okay. So there's certain types of witchcraft.
There's many types of witchcraft. And
I've met a lot of repressed witches who would never be quite dead. Right. Like those. But
I don't work naked.
It's a preference.
Okay.
Personal preference.
Because I've read some articles about that, like, you know, real magazines, people dancing in the moonlight naked there, and I was kind of, you know,
well,
trying to get myself in
shape.
We also
live in New York City.
It's much harder to do that here.
I would imagine maybe
we've got good-looking people here.
I would imagine maybe people that live up in Woodstock and things like that do it and get away with it and have fun doing it, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily go to Central Park and run around without my clothes on.
Well, if anything happens, Jack will just make their hands burn for you. Now, speaking of Jack, you're part of a coven, right?
Yes, it's called the Red Rose Coven. It's my newest, freshest experience of exploration, and I like to take some of my friends with me, and we see what happens. And so that's our coven.
Okay, where are you guys located?
We usually meet in the city. Go to different members' apartments. Sometimes we rent out studios. Sometimes we sneak into the park or cemeteries at night. Sometimes we go up to Westchester and find a big park that looks like a forest. That's where we go.
So you sneak into cemeteries. This is sounding more interesting now. What goes on when you do that?
It depends. A lot of things can go on in there. The last time we were there, we did an initiation, actually it was a dedication. And cemetery ground is sacred. And Mike Coven and myself, I like to work a lot with the dead and the ancestors. So cemeteries seems to be the place to be at for that.
Okay. Now, where do you tend to do your... Are you part of a coven? No. You're kind of an independent practitioner.
I'm most solitary, but...
I've thought about becoming part of a group. I was part of a group briefly. I tend to not be able to find the right... Like, there's always some energy involved that is just... I'm not feeling
it. Blend, yeah.
And I can't do magical work with people I don't trust.
Okay.
Because you don't know what their,
intentions are.
Yes, exactly.
And aside from that, it's so personal. You have to let go completely, and sometimes you can't let go in front of people you feel comfortable with.
Now, what's involved in getting in your coven, Jack? What do people have to do?
I like serious, dedicated students, people that read, people that are passionate about it. I've had two covens before this one, and the one before this kind of fell apart because everyone was a little lazy. So
a lazy coven.
A lazy coven didn't work out, so that had to stop. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just kept the people that that inspired me, and we're working together now, and we're still looking for more members. We want it to be a bigger group.
How many people are involved at this point?
At this point, I have five. I want to get maybe at least four more.
He's trying to suck me in.
Really?
Yes.
Does that make him a succubus or what?
Well, he's one of the few people that I trust enough to become involved in something like that, so we'll see.
Okay, so there's still a chance of you two kids getting together, witchcraft speaking.
Yeah, I want to play with her magic.
Do you have the same type of concept, or are there like different concepts to what you do, or is this all...
Everyone has their own specific thing they do to a point, where Jack is very traditional for the most part.
Right.
You said that. I started off doing Celtic work specifically. I've done everything from Celtic to Santeria and Voodoo to Egyptian and Norse, Chaos Magic, Aleister Crowley's Thelema. And at this point, I kind of put everything in a blender and do whatever works for what I'm doing at that point. Whatever I need.
Kind of
that
an eclectic style.
Sure. I mean, sometimes I'll just light a candle and meditate. Other times it will be really elaborate and I'll go food shopping and have like flowers and, I'll cast a circle and do something very elaborate. Other times I'll just hold a stone and concentrate on something. It really is a very... I've become less specific and disciplined with it because I found it stopped feeling natural to me. Where initially you want to do that because that's how you learn.
Now, if someone comes into your house and finds a lot of stuff out, should they be concerned? Yeah, there's a lot of flowers in her house. Let me get the hell out of here, or what?
No, I have quite a few altars in my apartment. So I would imagine anyone that came into my apartment would be curious as to what all of the space is covered in.
But
flowers
some
and statues.
People, a lot of people nowadays, they won't even see them. They're blind to things like this. They won't even see the altars.
They'll just think it's decoration.
Yeah.
It would be great for me to get into this because my apartment's such a wreck, no one would be able to figure out what was going on until it was too late. They could be standing under the altar, they wouldn't even know.
The altar
would be under a bunch of clothes. Okay, well, we're actually going to go to another commercial break and make sure that the gods are happy here, the gods of radio. And when we come back, we'll get into some more of this stuff. And I want to hear some more about some of the more interesting cases you guys have worked with, because you must have done a lot of cool stuff over the years. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Chintani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Chintani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Alright, I want to be a guest on that show and finally see what that Cheryl Broad looks like, but I think they're in California. So. Anyway, okay, now, you guys have, I'm sure, had a lot of interesting cases, so each give me an example of something that really stands out in your mind.
Okay, there's one very specific one. This woman came into the store, and she was with a friend of hers. She was really freaked out, and she said that she thinks... She thought that something had been following her around to the point where even on the drive over to the store, both of her hands were on the steering wheel and something moved her hair out of her eyes. So, you know, my automatic response is, well, this might sound odd, but did you talk to it? Did you ask it what it was or what it wanted? And she was like, well, I don't, you know, looked at me like I was crazy, obviously. And I said, well, it's very likely to be someone who's passed. So I asked her if anyone had passed in her life. It turned out that three very significant people had died in like the past year or two. So I said, okay, well, that's a good place to start. I said, now you have to ask it to show you something that would explain who it was. And she's like, well, give me an example. So within a second, I said, okay, so let's say there's a piano. If the person plays the piano, he would start to play a tune for you. And she turned as white as a sheet and said, if my father starts playing the piano, I'm going to freak out. So I said, well, it's obviously your dad because I didn't know you had a piano. And that would explain why I was told that automatically without me really having to think about an example.
Okay. So what can you do for somebody like that? Like, what's the...
Well, in her case, because it was her father, it was a matter of him trying to reach out to her from the other side.
Okay. And how did that end up resolving itself? Did you get anywhere?
She was very...
Her dad having lunch now?
She was very relieved, and she got very upset, obviously. She missed him quite a bit, and I didn't hear from her after that, actually. So I don't know. Obviously, it stopped because she never came back to say that it didn't work or
okay.
It was still bothering her.
So another satisfied customer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. How about you, Jack?
This girl would come into the shop and she felt like she'd been cursed or nothing was going well. So I gave her a bunch of banishing kind of spells to get rid of whatever's in the way. And her apartment ended up exploding with maggots. So she ended up finding maggots under the rug and the cupboards. So she had to clean that out too, clean her entire apartment, and she came back and told me about it. So I gave her more spell kits to banish away negativity, and this kind of went on for about a week, and she had flies coming in, and it was pretty ugly, but I think everything was purged. It was like popping a really big zit, I guess.
Wow.
So this sounds kind of like something from the Amityville Horror.
Yeah. I guess we exorcised whatever was living in her apartment.
Yeah, so I guess that stuff does happen, the things that you do hear about.
Yeah, it does.
We hear pretty strange things.
We hear so many crazy
things. It's amazing.
Have you dealt with any of that sort of possession or anything?
I actually had an experience when someone came in. He looked very ill, pale as a sheet, and just looked like he was about to pass out, and he had eaten in like a week, and he said that the walls in his apartment were bleeding, and that the faucets were bleeding. Like, instead of water, there was blood coming out of the faucets. And so as I have to go backtrack a little bit, as he's telling me this story, he's opening bottles of holy water and drinking them.
He's drinking them right off the shelf.
Right off the shelf.
This guy's drinking bottles of holy water.
Yes.
And where is he getting holy water?
In enchantments. At the store.
So you can just go, where do you go to buy holy water?
Occult stores.
Occult stores sell
hoodoo.
Holy water. Yeah, it's even in voodoo.
You would think that would be kind of like, you know, the kind of stuff you'd be avoiding, wouldn't you?
Well, it's, when you think of...
Kind of like going to a kosher or a deli and ordering ham.
It carries power because people give it power.
Like anything else.
Oh, okay.
Wax is just wax.
Yeah,
unless you imprint on it your will for whatever you want.
Now, what can you guys do with holy water?
Clean, exercise.
It's used for cleaning mainly, banishing.
Okay.
I even mix holy water in with my floor scrubs or whatever.
So it really does have some sort of power, then.
Well, like anything else, you give it power. Like it's like, when people wear a crucifix, they wear that crucifix because they think of it as a protection symbol. It's the same thing as anything else.
But no, I'm not so, like, we may, you could say you can give something power, but then the crucifix is really just a crucifix, but could you be giving that to anything?
Yeah.
It's what you believe.
Okay, so then the holy water in itself is not necessarily
any
water. Different. Oh, okay. So basically they're selling me some water.
I mean, water is one of the most important things on earth. You wouldn't live without it. So in that sense, water is a very holy thing.
I'm just trying to get a sense of whether this stuff is actually any different or whether you're just kind of
giving it some power. Well, the holy water that's bottled is blessed.
Okay.
By someone. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when it happened.
Might be priest. It should be.
I would imagine it's priest.
It's interesting, like in a witchcraft store, that they're dealing with stuff that was blessed by priests.
Well, when you think of the African tradition, they had to hide that as slaves under the guise of saints. So that became part of what they used.
Now, I know we were talking about his coven before. Like, how does someone choose a coven? Where do you go if I'm coven shopping? What do I do?
It's the hardest thing to do. You have to either hear it through word of mouth or read it on a bulletin board in an occult shop, yoga studio, or go online, go to the open events, and if you vibe well with the people, then they'll invite you in, or you can ask to come in. Sometimes it doesn't work out. I was lucky. The first coven that I found, right away I fit right in, and it was the best experience.
And this is kind of your coven, though, right? Did you take over or buy a franchise, or how does this work?
I joined a British traditional coven first. What that means is that we were being taught under the Gardnerian Book of Shadows. So that's the most popular Wiccan tradition. After that happened, I hived off as a Gardnerian, and then found out that I didn't want to do that anymore, so I took off even more, and half of my coven split up. Some of the people came with me and followed me with my new techniques and my new ways of doing everything, and the other half went to the older coven where I came out of, where I was taught. And it was a great learning experience for myself, and that's how I found out that I'm not a Wiccan I'm just a witch.
Now, there's a song in there somewhere. Okay, well, that's cool. Now, as you know, you guys haven't always been treated particularly well. Timing is everything. How happy are you that you weren't born in the Middle Ages?
Wow.
Very.
Like, that would have been a rough life.
Do you guys, is that talked about much? Like, you know, Jews never stop talking about the persecution.
I think around the 90s, there was a lot of talk about that and the burning times and all that. It was pretty big. I don't think that happens
it's
much.
Faded.
It's faded.
Gotten past
it. And we have TV to thank because there's so many TV shows and characters that are witches.
Charmed.
Yeah.
I remember Rosemary's Baby. That was pretty intense.
Now we have a secret circle.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And I don't own a TV, so I haven't seen it.
And I think they're awesome. No. They do their research.
Now, what is a secret circle about?
A bunch of pretty teenagers doing magic.
Huh.
It's good to look at.
And is this done naked? I want some nudity out of this.
I don't think there's nudity.
It's very disappointing.
It's on like Channel 5 or something.
Yeah.
I doubt there's nudity on it's, Channel 5.
Is it Fox or WB? One of those.
I don't know. One of those two.
WB.
Okay. Now, all religions have holidays. I mean, I know this isn't exactly a religion, but like, what do you guys have? What's your equivalent? Like, what's the big day?
The biggest is Halloween.
Halloween.
Oh, so you guys do get into Halloween.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Some traditions call it the first day of the year.
I consider it my New Year's Eve.
Now, was there a real significance to Halloween? I always thought it was kind of like a bunch of Irish kids who were pulling pranks and stuff. I mean, originally, if you go way back. But so this is really has some real deep meaning to it?
Mm-hmm.
There is. There's a lot of different stories. Do you have a good explanation? I mean,
Halloween is where the veil is thinnest. So that means that our friends, the spirits, are around and they're making themselves known even more, and we can even see them more. It's the dark of the year. So we have the jack-o'-lanterns and all these lights so that we can attract them into our home and honor them. We pay our respects. We celebrate their life that was. We celebrate their essence that still lingers.
So you attract spirits into your home.
Exactly.
Do you guys put anything out, a buffet, or how does it work?
What
do you do to, like, how do you entertain spirits when you're in your house?
An ancestral altar is pretty popular now these days.
You can put flowers out, wine.
Huh.
Like, okay. Like you would do on any altar.
There's
pictures of those that have passed.
And do you really communicate with these? Like, what is that like?
It depends on the person or the witch. You know, some people use the Ouija board. Some people do seances. Some people do tarot. Some people can just see them and talk to them. It depends. Everyone's different.
Okay. All right. And I know there's also, I read, I think, about it on your site. There was something called, is it the Black Book, I think?
The Black Book is our version of the Book of Shadows. It is not a Bible. We don't have a Bible in witchcraft. The Black Book is just a journal of the witch with all the rituals and the lessons and the techniques that she or he did. And eventually that book gets passed down to the next generation. If that doesn't end up happening, then it's up to us, the rest of the coven, to take that book from the person that passed away, that wrote it, and burn it.
Now, how do you think people discover these spells and stuff? Have you guys ever, like, come up with something yourself?
Yeah.
Like you said, whoa, this works.
People build their own regularly. A lot of them come from the village witch, you know, that worked with herbs and, you know, and healed the people of their village many years ago.
You know,
that's where a lot of it comes from.
And it's interesting because people from around the world are tapping into the same kind of work, and they've never met before, and they do the same kind of spells, they use the same herbs, and they've never talked to each other and said, hey, this is great for love magic, but they're using it still. So
every culture has a magical background, whether they're calling it that or not. It's nature. It's working with nature.
Well, we have the Kabbalah, I think. That's like a Jew thing, isn't it?
Yes.
The Kabbalah?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be? That's kind of like our occult stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know much because there were no Jews at my bar.
It's very elaborate.
It's very elaborate. I just know that it's a series of initiations that you go through.
Okay. We're actually going to head out for our final break. But I know you guys do some stuff that is not directly related to this as well. And I always like to find out what makes people tick. So we're going to discuss Ammo's other side a little bit and how it actually comes together with this and Jack's artistic side as well when we come back.
LoveMusic.com. From L.A. to the U.K., high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world. Love.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Ponella, Phil Jones, Bob DeBenedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James L. Dean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Hi, this is Mia. Listen to my show, Mia's World, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I interview artists, musicians, writers, and pretty much anyone that I'm passionate about in my Sagittarian world. So it's Mia, Mia's World, 9 o'clock Tuesdays on Centani Broadcasting, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. And actually, before we get into some of their outside pursuits, Ammo actually has 2 videos, which is how I got connected to her originally, for a company called World Dance New York, run by my good friend Neon, who has all kinds of videos from salsa to prenatal fitness to samba to witchcraft. So why don't you tell us about your videos, because that's got to be interesting to people.
They produced 2 videos. One is called Magical Spells, How To, and the other one is called Magic Rituals, How To, and they work in conjunction with each other. The Spells DVD has money, love, and protection spells on it, and it all includes kitchen ingredients. The DVDs are getting international release, so I wanted to make sure that everything that I used was easily found. You can order stuff, too, and I put on resources like enchantments and things like that, internet websites. But, yeah, all of the spells have, like, garlic in them and onion. They're all really easy to do. And then the other one is rituals. There's a grounding ritual, a chakra alignment, casting the circle, house blessing. You can basically use them together by, let's say, aligning your chakras and then casting the circle and then doing some spells from the other DVD and then closing the circle and grounding.
Now, apparently you can just get these DVDs and start doing this stuff, but this isn't like one of those things, don't try this at home?
No, the reason why I did them the way I did them is because, as I learned, when you read a book, you can't really, some people aren't so great at seeing what they're reading. And I found that if I had an aid like this, that I could actually see a person putting this whole thing together, it would have made it a lot easier for me.
But can you do this stuff without any training? Can you just like watch the video and
yes.
start making these things?
Yes.
Do you offer
it's
training?
It's a 101 instructional.
This is like Witchcraft for Dummies, basically.
Sort of, yeah.
Oh, okay. Perfect for me. Now, how do you, like, do you train people if people come to you? Is that something you do?
I haven't, but I've thought about starting to do that, and I'm thinking about putting together some workshops and starting them in New York and traveling with that and see how that goes.
Okay. Before we forget about you, Jack, I know you have a career as a dancer as well.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what you're doing with that?
It's, you know, being in New York as a dancer is, it's ultimately tough. I started off years ago, and then I took a break, and then I got really spiritual and started joining all these covens and doing all these things and training, and then I went back to dance, and it completely transformed after I found the divine, I guess. My movement's very different. I can tap into different levels.
Do you think this stuff has worked together and helped your
career?
It works
well together, yes.
Because you do see a lot of dancing in the moonlight going on.
Yes.
In these things.
Yeah, there's dancing in my rituals.
Okay. And do you guys do a lot of, I know you have that coven, do you guys do a lot of stuff outside in the moonlight and stuff?
Yeah. We try to do, well, the last coven that I had, 90% of our rituals were held outdoors. Sometimes we would go inside because it'd be too cold or raining. Anything like that. Sometimes we needed.
Is it better to have a coven in California where it's better weather or what?
I guess so. But then well, it depends. I think you can find magic anywhere you go.
Okay, now, Amo, you've got something that I really found interesting that you mentioned to me. You're also a personal trainer.
Yes.
And you're kind of merging these two things into one. Tell us about that.
Well, I came up with the idea because working at enchantments for so long, I really found that a lot of people that work magic don't take care of their health. And I left enchantments to work full-time as a personal trainer. And then from my last 4 years working as a trainer full-time, I've noticed that people that work out all the time and can easily do that side have no spiritual connection, no inner connection with who they are as a person. They're just money and I need to look good and that's it. So what I've decided to do is meld the two in what I call an esoteric life coaching system, which basically works both halves. So let's say if someone from the magical community has a problem losing weight, I could use Reiki or a tarot reading or meditation or chakra alignment to figure out why they are having issues getting their schedule open enough to go to the gym or getting the willpower to go to the gym. And the other way is getting the people who work out and can stay healthy on their own but have no inner connection to, let's say, have them start meditating and have them do chakra work and have them really start to know who they are on the inside and not just this outward appearance. And, you know, I have a condo and I'm a lawyer and that's who I am and that's all I am.
Can you, do you get a lot of out-of-shape witches who you're helping with?
Well, there are a lot of out-of-shape witches. There are.
What's up with that?
There aren't. They're so focused on the magic and their spiritual side, they're not connecting to the temple. This is the body is the temple. It's where the magic comes from. I feel personally that if I'm not in good shape and I'm not eating healthy and I'm, you know,
nothing's
not getting enough
well.
Sleep, I cannot manifest anything. The healthier I am, mind and body, the more I get out of my life.
So if you're in good shape, you'll be a better witch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and the reason why a lot of these witches are out of shape, I want to say, is because there's a lot of power raising during rituals. You raise a lot of power and you get really tired and you have to ground. The easiest way to ground is to eat. So after a ritual, there's a lot of eating.
Or you can go for a run.
Or you can go
I lift weights. Weights are grounding. Lifting weights is very grounding.
Cool. Then I might be a good candidate, then. I got to look into it.
Wrought iron.
Okay.
That'll ground you.
Yeah.
You see squats.
That makes sense.
Now, have you guys ever dated someone who found out what you're into and was, like, not able to handle it? Or do they kind of find that out going in?
They know that ahead of time.
I don't attempt to hide that and then tell them later when they already like me.
Okay, well, what about if you meet someone? Like, if you meet someone at the gym, do they ever, you know, find out you're a witch and freak out or what?
People at the gym don't know. I work in a very corporate environment, so I keep that outside. Which is why I want to start my own thing, combining the two, because they're both very much a part of who I am.
All right, before we go, we need some contact info from you guys. If people want to check out what you're doing, how do they get in touch with you?
You can email me at ammo, it's two M's, at ammoconquerstheworld.com.
That's awesome.
Well, that's pretty intense. Okay, Jack. I've seen your website. What is that?
It's the redrosecoven.com. And all my contact info is in there.
Now, if people have a book that they... What would you recommend? Like, what would be a good starter kit?
Anything by Cunningham. Scott Cunningham is excellent.
And I like Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Hewson. It's very urban, and it's...
Ghetto witchcraft, basically?
It's not ghetto witchcraft. This book came out around the same time that Gardnerian Wicca came out, which was the first type of witchcraft. The information came out of the same library, but from different people.
So is music a part of what you guys do? Like, what do you play during your ceremony?
Drumming is pretty popular.
Okay.
I'm
a drummer, by the way. I might be useful.
Oh, awesome. Actually play drums. So I play the djembe and I play a drum kit. So I tend to play when I do things.
We have a lot in common. We're drummers, we're personal trainers.
Oh,
I'm
awesome.
Not a witch, but...
I have lots
you
of drums.
The night's still young.
I have lots of drums in my cupboard, so you should come drum.
Excellent.
So, drums are key. Okay, I think we're just about out of time. As we go, websites once again.
Ammo at ammoconquerstheworld.com. I'm also on Facebook, Ammo O'Day.
TheRedRoseCoven.com.
Okay, we're going to be leaving you now. We will be back next week with a bunch of actors from the film The Bronx Tale, which will be lots of fun, and broadcasting from the place where Crazy Joe Gallo met his end. But for now, we, like him, are gone.
Hi there, I'm Tim McGraw. One of the great things about music is how it brings people together. Kids like to hang out, listen to music, and talk about what's hot and what's not on the music scene. And playing instruments and singing provides a way for young people to get together and interact in a cooperative and respectful way. Kids who play in school ensembles understand that every part has to work together for the result to be the magical art called music. Your local school music programs provide a golden opportunity for your child to experience the rewards of learning music. Why not pay a visit to the music teacher to find out what's going on? Get your kids involved with school music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Musical Instruments, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.